Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Folks, this is Mark Anthony Rossi at a wonderful show here, Strength to Be Human. I have a great guest, someone that is not only talented and interesting, but someone I really consider a friend, Jordan Dedman, over there from England. He is a writer, a very creative person, and also a musician. He does a lot of work in and outside of London. Welcome to the show, Jordan. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I'm looking forward to it.
I've wanted to do this for a while with you, but like anything else, scheduling is something else. I hate to sound like some kind of Hollywood hack, but the truth is that, you know, between the other shows and of course, the scheduling and the time zones, the beauty of internet, you could bring people close that way, but it doesn't mean that, you know, it happens overnight. You have to take time, so I'm really happy that you're able to take the time to do this.
Thanks.
So I know we wanted to talk about your musical career, which is decidedly different than when I first met you when you were doing writing. Not to say that you don't have that in your life anymore. It's just that you know, I met you doing that, and now we're going to be talking about something entirely different. I mean, I still think it's interesting and exciting. I'm sure there's probably even a bit of a romantic thing about going out there and, you know, practicing your work and then you know, performing before a bunch of people. I couldn't even conceive doing that. I'm kind of happy just being at the house, you know?
No, I know what you mean.
So if you want to tell us a bit about, I don't know if it's a day or a week or just, you know, how a person does this and gets prepared to go out there. I'm not sure if you do it every day, but I'm sure you probably do it a number of times during the week.
Yeah, no, sure. So I've been playing music for some time, really, probably for, I don't know, say about the last 10 years, I've played some kind of instrument, and about the last 3 years, I've been working as a musician. So I rarely play every day. It's usually kind of three or four times a week. I'll be playing gigs in like bars or hotels or get private events, you know, weddings and that kind of thing. But day to day, I'll be rehearsing or writing, or there's kind of always something going on.
Now, are you doing a mixture of original stuff and then, of course, covers of other bands?
To be honest, in terms of like the work, it's all covers. It will be kind of what people want to hear to some extent. Although it is our own arrangements, and it's, we kind of want to keep it as creative as possible, but it's definitely something I want to do more of, and it's something I am doing more of, like writing my own kind of stuff and eventually putting it out there and seeing what people think of it.
Well, I'm thinking that because you play the piano, right? Yeah. So obviously you have to work on songs that have a piano already, or you just add one to them that, you know, when they don't?
Yeah, it's a good question. That sometimes a song will have a piano part. Like we learned towards the end of last year, there was like Christmas time, there's always a big advert in the UK, and they ran Elton John, Your Song. That was the song with the advert. So I learned that, and obviously that's Elton John, so that's got a piano part. But a lot of the time we'll do songs and we'll make it. I work in a duo most of the time called the Lounge Duo, my friend Charlie Wallace, and we'll write our own arrangements. So it's whether that's taking the chords that exist already and you know, perhaps reharmonizing or changing the structure, just adding extensions onto them, or just kind of playing it by ear and then putting your own spin on it. So that's how it kind of stays creative. I wouldn't want to do it where it's only doing what's in the song already all the time.
All right, that's good to know. Is someone actually singing the song, or is it all instrumental?
Oh yeah, no. So Charlie sings. I mean, I do some solo gigs, and then I'll play the melody, on keys. But yeah, for most of the time, Charlie will be
All
singing.
right. What kind of guy? What kind of like songs and bands you guys cover?
It's a mixture of things. We do like some like standards, kind of old jazz stuff, up through like every decade, really, to modern day chart stuff. It's popular music largely, but it's music we like. I think that's important to us, really. But yeah, I mean, whether it's like Frank Sinatra, or we'll cover stuff like Blondie or the Buzzcocks, and then up to like Frank Ocean, or I don't know, I mean, all sorts of things are in the charts
Wow.
nowadays.
Well, I guess that makes sense because I can't imagine doing something on a regular basis like you are. Because even 3-4 times a week, that's pretty regular. And then just hate all the stuff you're doing, even if it is something that the public or the audience wants. You gotta have some kind of a way into doing it without it being tired or without you just saying, "Oh God, I gotta do this song again."
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it can, and sometimes I've been in bands before, and you have to play it like very straight covers, strict to how it sounds, and you get sick of songs after a little
I
while.
can imagine, especially since being a musician is I think a whole lot different than being a writer because you're in the public eye right away all the time, whether you like it or not.
And that is it. I mean, it's different because it's more of a, especially what I do, is more of a like a live thing. There's that constant sort of immediate feedback versus when, obviously, when I got to know you and we were doing the writing thing, you get that, but it's more of a, because it's more of a permanent thing. It's like a delayed, you gradually get feedback coming. And it's strange, but yeah, I kind of enjoy it this way for the
No,
time being.
I definitely see I guess you could say the advantage to it because there's no doubt about it that when you're live, the feedback is instantaneous.
Yeah, for sure. And even if it's
Yeah,
bad.
exactly. So I'm thinking that rehearsals and just practice and experience are probably so important because who wants that instant bad reaction? I mean. I could imagine just going with a couple of keys and I'm like, oh God, they hate it already. You can't give it a minute into the song at least.
Yeah, I mean, you have like bad gigs and stuff, but yeah, like you say, you practice and hope that it goes well more often than not.
Well, I'm glad I'm checking this stuff out from afar because I would think that besides having the talent, you have a certain temperament, and I don't think I would. I really don't.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it takes a certain, especially like with like technical practice, just like scales and things. I think it takes a certain discipline. I don't always have, to be honest, but practicing the same thing every day, yeah, it's a, I don't know, that can kind of drive you mad, but I think that's part of it.
Well, I'm definitely glad that you're out there doing that, and I haven't heard too many people doing that. Even some of my musician friends, they'll go on a string of concerts. I guess you call that a tour, and but it's so much on the road that it's a real alteration of your life. It's kind of hard to maintain a relationship or a marriage when you're away for so long, which is really different than even what you're doing because at least you do get to come back home.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've done a little bit of. I wouldn't say I've not been on tour, but I've certainly travelled to do a few gigs. It's just different. I'm not. I might do it more in the future because it is part of, I guess, being having a career as a musician. If you're asked to go on tour, then I might have to go. But yeah, it's still, there's still some like weird things in terms of like relationships and like stability that can still be hard with this kind of thing, especially when you're like I'm busy every weekend, really. So it's, I have the opposite schedule to, I find, most of my friends that aren't musicians.
Yeah.
And that thing.
Yeah, I can.
But I wouldn't change it. You know?
No, I understand. Like any art, and like any artist, something that you love and you feel is putting out your best out there in the world, it's going to require some measure of sacrifice, which a lot of folks might not understand.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you're right about
that. Yeah, I was talking to a girl the other day. We were getting ready for an interview, and, you know, even as a writer, I had it difficult to really visualize somebody working 3 years straight on just one project. It's a novel, and she's hoping to launch it into a series. But of course, you know, that first one makes all the difference in the world, because it has to live and breathe for the future, as well as what it does, you know, as a standalone. But 3 years, because I can think of all the fiction pieces and nonfiction columns and plays and everything else I could write in 3 years, rather than on one project. So. That's how I look at it, but she was just like, no, it's like, you know, chapter to chapter and different worlds and crossing this and crossing that. And so it's very interesting to hear, but you know, there's also that sacrifice that you're not doing other creative things, and you're just banging away at, you know, at that one thing, hoping that that's going to be, you know, what sets your sails off, you know, for a future in this. So it's definitely interesting.
It is. That must be tough. And the discipline thing, I think, as well, with that, a different kind, but for sure, that's going to be pretty intense.
She is a wife and a mother as well, so can imagine.
And well, yeah.
Yeah, she's always busy. If she's not writing about monsters, she's probably having to take care of a couple now and then, too. You know, I know the feeling, believe me.
Yeah, no.
So that's how that works. Now, I recognize, and thank God, some of the music and some of the songs that you were doing, because it's hard not to, because we get so many wonderful artists and musicians right there from England. So, you know, although I know Elton John is from Australia, but I mean, most Americans wouldn't even know that. They probably think he's from England too. You know, he doesn't even sound like Australian half the times when you hear him speak. You know.
Elton John, did you say? He's English, is he not?
Well, yeah, he's actually from Australia. Yeah.
Oh, is he really? I didn't know that.
Because of his travels and being such a world entertainer, you know, that's where he was born. It doesn't necessarily mean that's where he has to live at.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah. Oh, no, it's cool, though. Well, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
So I think David Bowie was born there in England, but he spent more of his time in Sweden. So, people were thinking he was Swedish, and then realizing later on, no, he's from England. So, sometimes where you come from is not necessarily the same place you're going to be, you know, hanging out at the end. So, I'm not too surprised about that. That's like that guy from Portugal, but he's not really from Portugal. You know, he just says, "That's how I stretch out my pound here." I'm like, "Okay, I gotcha." I know. I try to explain to him, you know, with the whole Brexit thing, you don't really have a pound anymore, right? You know, so.
Oh yeah, don't get started on that.
Yeah, I hear lots about it all the time. So, yeah, but I think he said he's more happy in Portugal right now than he is in England. So, I'm like, hey.
I
can imagine there. But so do you guys like just put together your set list just based on something new and fresh you want to do, or you just try to make sure that it's always going to be a evolving amount of songs that you just really are keen that the audience is going to like?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's getting a balance, because it's obviously, we want it to be stuff that we enjoy, and I think that will show when we play the songs. If you know, you can see if you go to a bar and a musician's playing and they're not really into it, you can tell. So we don't want to do that. We want to do stuff that we're enjoying as well. But also, you have to kind of cater towards the kind of vibe of the place. If we're playing something kind of more upmarket, like hotel lobby sort of thing, then you have to play a different gig. If you're playing a bar and it's like a Saturday night and people are up and dancing, so you have to cater towards the audience to some extent, but we don't want to sacrifice too much, because then it becomes more kind of samey, and then it feels more like a normal job, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that. I've come across over my travels, and even here in the States, you know, small bands that do these things in festivals, or, you know, in marketplaces, as well as, you know, the hotels and coffee shops and all that. So I'm definitely familiar in how they can really vary between somebody that sounds like really solid, and then other times where you're like, wow, maybe they need a break, or maybe I need to buy them a drink.
Yeah.
Is it like, oh, no. It's not like they're not into it, but I can just imagine how many times they're doing this sort of thing on a regular basis. And if you're not changing it up, it probably gets old hat or stale real quick.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, 100%.
Now, you were
right.
Saying that you do private events too, so it's like, what, bar mitzvahs and parties and stuff like that?
Yeah, all kind of things, yeah. I mean, mainly like weddings, really. Okay. So which is nice. It's stressful, to be honest. Like, it's just a lot more pressure, especially if you're playing like the say when the bride walks down the aisle, or if you're playing the first dance. It's just such an important part of that person's life. So there's one opportunity to get it right. So that's, I don't know, like, especially like the week run up to that, or like the day before, especially, I want to, you know, say get it right 10, 15 times in a row. I want to play it perfectly before I'm kind of happy to go into the next day. But that's always going to be really nerve-wracking, just because I think that's more nerve-wracking than, say, like if you played like a big gig and there were like, I don't know, a couple of thousand people or something, because it still doesn't, like, the private stuff means more to people. They're doing an event for a reason. It's an important day for them.
Well, that's a great perspective, and it makes sense to me. Well, of course, it shows, you know, your integrity as an artist and the character as a man, because you're right about that. You might have a little freedom with a bigger crowd, and, you know, you could be off key for a second, or, you know, goof up something
for
a moment, and people are going to understand, hey, it's live, and they're going to go back to everything that they're supposed to do, and don't worry. But you're right.
Exactly.
If you're a bride in a wedding, you don't want to hear anything but perfection, because that's your moment, and you know you can't take it back if you screw it up, no doubt.
Exactly. Yeah, no, definitely.
That is true. Although I'm thinking you probably don't do a lot of bar mitzvahs. I'm not really sure how many Jewish people actually live in England, but over here in the States, it's a common thing for a band along their travels to do a couple here and there.
Yeah, I've never played a bar mitzvah. I know of at least one friend that's played a bar mitzvah, but yeah, I'm sure I will at some point. I'll let you know.
Well, I don't know if you're going to have really the same like pressure, because I doubt the kid's going to be worrying too much about that. He's probably too busy talking about video games and sneaking alcohol, so he might not care too much about that. No, the same thing as a girl, where it's like, this better be right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's very different.
I like that, though, that you're able to go out there and do that as well, because that is a good way to supplement, of course, you know, all the other events that you do. Because, you know, how do you guys, like, get the word out, or how do you get the, you know, the invitation about come to this hotel next week?
Yeah, no, it's usually a case of, and there are different channels you can do it, and a lot of people will go through agencies and the like. I don't really, I mean, we do that sometimes, but personally, I like to have the control, really. So a lot of it is just going to venues and asking them. I mean, that sounds really rudimentary, but we've got some of our best gigs just from walking up to a bar and asking if they do music, or asking about their music schedule. I think that's the best way. Like, you can do that, obviously, via social media and email and that sort of thing as well, but I always think in person's best, really.
Yeah, I like that, and I think it makes a sense if you're able to do that, because Quite frankly, it is a form of marketing. You know, maybe the most real one of all. You know, hi, I'm here. I play the piano. What do you think? Has anyone ever said, okay, Jordan, jump on that piano there and see what you got?
Oh, no, do you know what? That will happen one day. But no, you get mixed reactions. I've had people, you get people that will just laugh at you, and then you walk off. But yeah, and then you get obviously some people that are really nice, and you might get a gig the next week or something from them. But yeah, you never really know what to expect.
Well, I just think about like a movie, you know. Yeah, it's over there. Let's see what you hear. I'm thinking about, you know, that's not a bad way too, because that might be the only way to convince somebody in a situation. But I can imagine that would be a little stressful too, because what if you're not in a musical mood, just in a marketing mood?
Yeah.
I got to play now? Come on, I'll close it next week.
Yeah.
But I guess you're right. That could probably happen one day. I mean, I thought it happened more than it does.
Yeah, it could. It's funny. It's a lot of places won't have a piano, so I'm quite fortunate in that respect. I'll have to take one. But yeah, for sure, if they did have one, I wouldn't be surprised if someone said that one day.
A lot of these places don't have a piano. You got to bring your own.
Yeah, so I'll take like a stage piano, like a nice keyboard, essentially. I have to cart that around. So yeah. I think it's just too much of an expense for a lot of, but especially to have like an acoustic piano. It gets in the way, and it's expensive and they're hard to maintain.
Don't hotels normally have one?
Hotels, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a hotel we play at quite regularly in London. It's called the Ned. And they have a really nice one, and obviously quite a few venues around. We will have one, especially in London.
Do you want to use theirs, or you just still bring yours anyway?
Oh, no, I'll always use that. I'd rather use a real piano.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's strange because they're all kind of different, so it might take a second to get used to it. But yeah, it's always best to use a real one than a keyboard.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess it's something wouldn't
really. No, I thought it was roughly the same. I mean, I understand that something electronic versus something that's more mechanical is going to sound a little bit different, but, you know, I didn't think there was a real preference. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and even with acoustic pianos, there could be quite a big like between upright and grand, there's a difference. But then even like within different uprights and grands, there can be different feel, different action, like the weight of the keys, and just kind of the speed can be like really varied. So yeah, that can take a few songs to get you maybe two off notes sometimes to get used to if it feels really different to what you're used to.
Are you able to sneak in and practice, or are you just going to have to just hit it cold and, you know?
No, some places will have a green room and like a stage piano set up, and hopefully that's going to be similar to the actual piano on the stage. But yeah, generally you just have to hop in and hope for the best.
That's something. And then you might literally sound different every other night depending on where you're at and what equipment you're using.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, the tone's gonna be different for sure. And even with like, I mean, Charlie will take his guitar everywhere, like if we're doing a duo gig. But with the PA setup, everything, it's gonna always sound a little different.
I guess. You were saying you guys do some Frank Sinatra now and then.
Yeah, we do some Frank Sinatra, some like Nat King Cole, and a few other kind of.
What songs of Frank Sinatra do you actually do?
We do "Fly Me to the Moon." We do "The Way You Look Tonight." Can't think what else off the top of my head. That might be all like the regular set list, actually. But yeah, I definitely like that kind of the old kind of crooner sort of
right
swing.
Yeah,
kind of sounds.
I thought that would be more of a swing, because you know he has some songs that you know require more vocal than they require a lot of musicianship with a band or something. So
yeah, for sure.
Probably want to get away from those, you know. Yeah. I doubt you're going to be singing about New York a lot, so.
Yeah, I like that song, but yeah, maybe not in London
exactly.
Or stuff.
Yeah, they're sitting there going, "Oh Lord, no, I'm not pleased." I don't know. Is there other than London Calling? Is there any songs about London really?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you've asked me now, and I've said yes, and I can't think. I mean, there's off the top of my head, there's a Red Hot Chili Peppers song which mentions London in the summertime. I think that's from Californication,
Oh
maybe. My mind's completely blank. There are loads of songs about
okay. See, I
London.
don't know too many. I know the Clash and the Calling, and so that's the one I
Yeah, of
always
course,
like
yeah.
because I'm like, I can remember what they're saying.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. The Clash are
Yeah,
cool.
and I'm
Really
sure there's
cool.
probably a couple of punk rock songs about London, but that might be about throwing rocks and not liking the Queen or something. But
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, Sex Pistols
yeah,
thing, I think.
that's what I'm thinking. But I've actually been there, so I'm fortunate to have traveled as much as an American, because unfortunately the tag of Americans not traveling around is generally correct. Yeah.
That's a shame. But then there's a lot to explore in America, to be fair. It's a pretty cool country.
It's very large, and I think part of the reason, because we're so far away from so many places, that's why folks don't travel as much. And others, quite frankly, it could take a lifetime just in that just America, and you still haven't seen everything. So, not to defend that people shouldn't travel more, because they should, and I always advocate it because I've done so much.
Yeah,
But
for
and it
sure.
really does help you in seeing different ways of life and hearing things that you don't never hear before. And but as an American, we have an unusual image out there, and I can't say it's any different in the 80s than it is now, because it seems like there's always a new group of people who don't like you. So that's part of the burden of being an American. But I can definitely say in all confidence that when I went to England, I never felt like I was a foreigner, and I never felt I was not welcome. Even if people were making jokes about America, it never seemed like it was mean-spirited,
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, no, you
No,
shouldn't not feel
I
welcome. I
always
think we
did, and
like
it was always a wonderful place to be because of that. I mean, you
Yeah.
have some people now and
Yeah.
then ask for the colonies back, but I'll get back to you on that. But I always thought that they had a interesting sense of humor, and but I always loved it, not just because everybody spoke English, because quite frankly,
Yeah, sure.
the English spoken in England is far different than America. You really have to listen more closely to understand sometimes what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's different. I know you haven't been to America that it's things don't always translate as
No, they
I would
don't, and
first expect, but
you can have some
no.
fun with it too. I mean, I went to this
You can,
hotel one
yeah.
time, and this lady's telling me about the telly in my room, and I'm like, "Listen, you need to get telly out of the damn room, because I'm about to go in and I'm tired. I don't want to hear all this. Somebody's still in the room." And she's trying to explain to me that that's a damn television. I'm like, "Oh, okay. I thought you meant like Telly Savalas or something." And I'm like, "You better get out of there."
That's funny. That is good.
But at the time, I really don't know what the hell she's talking about. So I'm like, "Oh, what is this person doing in there?" So you get used to different words, and it's easy to get used to the steering wheel being on a different side of the car, or even
Of course,
driving
yeah.
on the other side of the road. It's you actually get used to that pretty fast, and it's kind of novel and fun, actually, But
Yeah.
there's so much shared interests and lifestyles that are not that radically different, that I always find England to be a partner to us, and not just politically and militarily, but even artistically, because it's such an interesting place, and there's always something interesting going on over there. And hell, most of the writers I love are all from England. As much as I'm an American, and I love a lot of American writing, don't get me wrong, but when you get tired of American writing, you always have the English to count on, thank God.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's funny because it's obviously culturally different, but I think there are enough similarities that it doesn't feel, you don't feel
Yeah,
alienated.
you don't really feel too alien there, And like I always joke around,
No.
once a British person starts speaking, suddenly Americans are like, "Oh, that really sounds awesome." And then I'm like, "Well, he just read the back of a toothpaste tube." "No, but it sounds great." So
That's funny.
I had this fellow the other day. He's a British poet and a bit of an amateur historian. He likes to investigate pre-Christian England, which was pretty interesting, and pretty savage, you know. But he was reading some of his work, and it just the accent and the delivery and all of that, it brings another bit of life to writing that when it's on the page. It might not come as live as much as listening to it. So, you know, I'm suspecting I'm going to get a lot of wonderful comments about that, just because as America, we don't do enough of that, of enunciating our own language, or even just being live about it. You know, a lot of times we just write, send it out, and go about our business, and then we're in McDonald's and not worrying about art anymore.
I think it's the thing that is different, though, because if, you know, for me, obviously, because I live in England and most people I know are English, it's normal. But if I hear an American, or like when you're talking about writers, I really like American writers. I don't know if it's because it feels, I don't mean exotic, but I think it's a strange word to use for America, because we are quite similar. But I think it's that it is different, not necessarily that it is what it is individually.
I heard that before, and I'm sure on the other side is probably a similar fascination. I mean, I had some fellow, and he was telling me, I talked to a lot of people from England, but he was telling me, I like the Americans' directness, because oftentimes the British beat around the bush. I'm like, I never thought of it like that, but I guess that could be true.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's varied, I know, but like I've got family that live in New York. And going there, I know they have a bit of a reputation for that directness, for certain, where we will go all around the houses, if that's the same way you are as well, to get to a point, and they'll just give you it.
I'm from New Jersey, which is right next to New York. Yeah, so
it's close.
We have a very similar outlook, and probably a very similar profane profile on things. But because that's where I was born, and I'm used to that. But I live in the South now, and of America, right on the border of Florida. And down here, folks are not really used to that, and don't always prefer it. So you'll get
right.
The,
okay.
Oh, this goddamn Yankee, you know. Yeah. Or they do very flowery speeches, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you can hurry up and get to the point here before my Social Security check arrives in the mail. Okay, that would be nice.
Yeah.
So it's a different world, even in the same country, because they have their own accent and they have a very country or rural type of a way of expressing themselves. But it tends to take a while to hear anything, and where sometimes I just prefer it, because they're like, you know, it's quite rude up there. I'm like, yeah, but it's honest. I didn't have to wait 17 minutes for the answer. You know, you get it real fast.
Yeah. No, it's cool, though. It's interesting.
There's so much of the difference in the country. I just did an interview with a guy from California, and he's right off the bat talking about surfing. I'm like, oh, God, can you be any more stereotypical? But that's his thing. He likes to travel, but he loves surfing, and if you're in California where he's at, I mean, that's a big thing, because it's not like you can surf, you know, in the middle of the country. You have to be on the coast.
No.
And quite frankly, it's the best in California compared to anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it is funny when, like, as you know, I've just been to Australia, and that's a big part of the culture out there. And it felt stereotypical, but yeah, it's a very serious thing. And for me, from where I'm from, similar to where you're from, it seemed funny, but for them, it's just totally normal.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling them, I'm like, even though I've been to California before, it's not the first thing I'm thinking about checking out. I mean, let's go look at some muscle dudes surfing. I mean, I don't care. It's just that simple, because it looks like a hell of a hard thing to do. I'm worried about sharks trying to eat me, you know? I'm also worried about, I'm looking on the beach, and the girl I like, she's already talking to four guys. Why? Because I'm freaking surfing, and he's over there doing what he's supposed to be doing. So I'm not really seeing the advantages here.
No, I didn't mean.
And of course, being from New Jersey, there's not a lot of that going on. I mean, we have a shoreline and we have beaches. Don't get me wrong, and people do that,
yeah.
You know, periodically. But you know, it's not exactly the place for waves and for all that kind of, you know, Hollywood kind of version of it all. It's really better out there where they have a grander time and just more structured, I guess, you know, environment for that sort of thing. But you know, they got some folks that do that.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was unusual, and it never really fit, you know, who I wanted to be. But I don't make fun of it. I just have fun with it, because it looks so terribly hard, and I can imagine, you know, falling down all the time, because apparently that's probably what they do so much, and so they get good at doing it. So I guess there's a real discipline, there's a real art to it, so to speak. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I suspect there is.
That's what I'm thinking. And I think there's a whole musical culture around it, too, because you don't really listen to AC/DC when you're out there, you know, surfing, you know?
It's interesting, because when I went to Australia, we went to Victoria and the Surfing Museum down in Torquay there, and they speak actually about the arts, sort of the culture around surfing, and about it being quite a punk thing when it started, sort of running away to surf and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's definitely a whole culture and a whole art scene around there.
Yeah, I've seen it when I was in California. I wrote a lot of plays, and when I was in Seal Beach, and that's all they were doing over there was surfing, which I thought it was great, because I had all these girls walking around and all these guys are surfing. I'm like, bye. keep doing that, thank you. it was a grand time, and I really loved that beach. It's small, but it's just pretty awesome, because it has a really nice small town connected to it, you know. Surf shops and psychics and, you know, astrologers and all kinds of art people, and you can write and do all kinds of things everywhere. So it was really far away from home, but it was great, because I spent a good year there just hanging around, and I was excited. No doubt.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to be next for you in terms of, you know, artistically? Are you looking to do, you know, just the same routine you've having, or are you thinking about maybe doing some bigger, you know, musical projects?
That's a good question. I think what we're doing musically, in terms of like the work side of things, I think I'm kind of happy with that, and I'm over the idea of wanting to, you know, sell a billion records and, you know, take over the world. I think that's the thought you have when you first get into it and you're in your teens or whatever. And I'm quite happy to do this, to do what I love to, and make a living from it. That's amazing. But yeah, certainly artistically, I'm writing a lot more. I will release an EP this year of, I think, piano and just small piano string arrangements. That's the next kind of goal, really, especially creatively.
And is that just going to be you and a couple of friends, or is that just simply the band that you're playing with now?
No, I mean, that would just be me composing. And then I don't know whether it's something I could play live. I don't think there'd be a demand for it, and even there would, it would probably cost me a lot of money to hire a string section. But it's just something I'll do. I'll write music that I like, and then just release it, and then, you know, maybe someone might like it, which would be cool. But that's not something I'd see as something that, like, I won't make any money from it, you know. It's just something I'll do for fun, which is nice to be able to do that kind of art thing for fun, where we don't have pressure for it to be a, for it to
fit.
Yeah,
that's true. If you look at it like that, I agree. And you never know where it could go, though. So I always encourage people to do what, you know, whatever their dreams are leading them to, and not worry about you know, where it's going to land up or not, because you have to do it anyway just to get it out there. And
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure after you constantly do other people's work, you know, you probably start developing ideas for your own.
Yeah, definitely. You get inspiration from certain things, and you start to find your own style of what what works for you, what you like the sound of. And it definitely helps with like certainly gigging. Like practice is cool in your, you know, in your room or whatever, you have to sit and practice every day, but you like develop a lot more going out and playing live, I think. So that's helped.
So is there a comparison on like a Jordan Dedman original composition to something else that's out there, or are you just doing your own thing that we don't really know until we hear it?
Oh yeah, I think it's impossible to do anything that sounds completely original nowadays, I suppose. But yeah, I mean I like minimalist composers like Philip Glass.
Yeah, I think he's cool too.
Or yeah, I think it's great. And there are a lot of modern guys like that, Max Richter, Oliver Arnold, Nils Fram, and some more people like Jan Tiersen, sort of, which are more sort of melody based kind of storytelling, I think. But yeah, I like that kind of thing where it sort of sometimes hints at a melody, but doesn't really, it's not obvious. It's more just I don't know. It's just like almost like a feeling.
It could be cinematic, you know, you might have an indie movie 100%. Person that would want to use some of your stuff just because that probably makes more sense for a film than it does maybe just for an audience.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, definitely. And that's something that whenever I've written little pieces of music before and shown to people, they'll say, oh, this, you know, I can imagine this on a, if they like it, they'll say, I can imagine this on a film.
Yeah, I like the blast too, so that I kind of like the groove that you're in. I remember reading an interview about him, and he was saying that, now I can have an orchestra with me, but then how do I stay minimalist? So he had an interesting concept about that. That I'm like, oh yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think he died. I don't think he's alive anymore. I think he died a couple of years ago.
I think he's still alive. I think he played at the Barbican a couple of years ago, or last year. I think I missed it. But he's
still alive. Okay, cool. I don't want to make him dead. I thought he died.
I hope not.
But okay. I remember reading an interview about him a lot, and he was talking about that. And he's really interesting a chap, and we don't really have too many like him in America. So
no, but you do have some great artists, composers, and everything for sure. But he's one of my favorites, I think.
Well, that's good to know. I like that that connection between us there. You like him as well. I don't get too many people that do. A couple writers I know, but a lot of the writers like myself, we really steer towards a John Anderson or even Vangelis.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Because he's simply the artist, you know, when it comes to that sort of instrumental kind of work. I mean, that guy is, you know, everything that he puts out, I love, you know, and. I can imagine speaking to him, though, because I'm told his English isn't all that great.
Well, oh, really?
He's from Greece, and just like the other languages, I'm not really going to be picking that up anytime soon either, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. It's a difficult one as well.
I'm glad you're speaking in this language of music, because I don't know what else you're saying otherwise. Well, yeah, I'm definitely looking to hearing that if you do anything out there. I went to a musical festival. It was more country leaning, but I went there with my family, my in-laws, when we went to visit them in Florida. And they had about like 10 or 12 like various artists, and they each got to do like two songs. And I had heard a girl, and she sounded wonderful. She did that new pop country thing that's really kind of been out here in America, and she was saying to everybody that you know, she had a single out on Spotify, and that helped her ultimately to get a recording contract.
Yeah. Oh, cool!
So that,
yeah, it's interesting how it works. There's definitely like channels are different to how they used to be in terms of how you get yourself noticed.
Yeah, it's something for you to consider. Even this show is being carried by Spotify now.
Oh yeah, no, of course, yeah.
So I make sure it's part of their inventory, and we actually get some listeners that strictly listen on Spotify, which is pretty fantastic, because you think of them as just music, but no, it's a lot of audio stuff too, and this is definitely an audio show. So maybe that's a way for you down the line, you know, to consider you know, doing something like that and releasing it and. You know, see what happens. See who out there is, you know, checking it out. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting stuff on that Spotify and a million different, you know, genres. So why not you?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'll definitely release on Spotify, especially as it's, I mean, Spotify is not something, as I'm sure you're well aware, especially for like musicians who release, you don't make any money from Spotify really. And even if you have millions of plays, but being something that I just would like to share, and it's not something I want to get any income from really.
Right, right.
Then I'll do via Spotify.
Well, just because it's a good piece of somebody's resume or calling card going forward. Here's this link, you know, you can go check this out, that sort of thing too. So, you know,
yeah,
and you can even put that information into an email, which you really can't do if you're giving out some CD or, you know, all of that. So
exactly.
It is different than I remember music, you know, decades ago, where, you know, it was all that giving somebody a CD or an album or, you know, like the EP. I don't even know if EPs exist anymore, but I used to love them. You know, they're a good way to kind of give you a sample of somebody without having to, you know, commit to the whole project, so to speak.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. No, any EP, I think, even if it's just in writing, I think kind of exists.
Yeah, it does, but now Spotify is like the new thing that people do, and it makes sense because they can listen to it on the car, you know, or on the phone, or, you know, at the house, on the computer. There's just so many different things you can do now. And just like my show, your music is something that people would want to hear, you know, as they're going about the motions of their life, because it makes sense. People have to find time in their day for things, and that's what I think that the show helps, and, you know, music helps as well. I mean, who doesn't use it to, you know, to pass the time away? You know, I mean, I do chores around the house, and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do any of these things. I might lose 4 or 5 more points in my IQ if I have to launder these clothes anymore, you know. But it's great to have you know, something in the background to remind you that you know, all is not lost.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I think that's important.
And when you go running, though, that's the most boring thing in the world, even though it's so important. God, I mean, people tell me all the time, I listen to your show when I'm running. I don't even take offense anymore. I'm like, yeah, I listen to things when I'm running too, because running is just, it's just boring, you know. It really is.
No, I don't mean, I like running because I live by the sea, so I like running along the seafront, or I like running for like charity or something like that. If you could raise
a
certain amount of money for doing whatever race
there, so I follow some of the things that you do.
Yeah.
I see that you do a lot of running, and I always say, God, that's a lot of work for charity. If I had to tell somebody, I'd say, listen, I just ran 6 miles for you, so you better believe that I have a charitable heart, because I'm dying over here. That's what I'd be saying, because I do running because it's necessary. I'm an older fellow compared to you, and so it's necessary, especially since I have young children. I got to keep up with these little evil monsters. But who says that I love it? I'm like, oh no. So I'm so happy for Pandora and sometimes just listening to Apple, you know, lectures about certain topics. I mean, it definitely helps pass the time away. Now, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Makes it easier.
So, besides that, are you still, you know, occasionally, you know, writing and doing anything along those other lines of art, or is it just all music now?
It's all music. I do occasionally, I'll write something, just, you know, like if you feel the need to, I'll write something down. But I don't know. It's not something I wouldn't say like I'll never do it again, but it's certainly not something I'd do at the moment.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're still expressing yourself in art, and that's important. God knows you could do both, and I can't. So, you know, you already have a leg up on me, you know. Because most people that really, really enjoy music, they always secretly feel that they wish they could sing, or they wish they can compose, or they wish they can play guitar or something. And ironically, if I ever wished to do anything, I would have wished to play the piano. I always thought it was a really interesting instrument. And also, I'm older now, so it's cool to be able to sit down and do something rather than standing. So I like that part too. I could get to sit down and I could play. That's kind of cool. I hate to sound lazy, funny. But that's just the truth of it all. I can't sit around with a guitar, and it's like you got to run around and and all that. And after a while, that's a little tiring. I'm like, oh, that's enough of that. But it never looks like it gets tired. So, but I have.
Yeah, it's funny.
I just don't have any musical talent at all, so I won't even attempt.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people will say, like, that's certainly a thing that if you tell people you play the piano, they'll say, oh, I used to play piano when I was younger, or I wish I could play. But it's something I think it's something that we could all get to a certain level, at least. Like, you'd only have to buy, like, a cheap keyboard and practice for, 10 minutes a day to increase it eventually. But
yeah, I don't even have the ear for it for myself, so I never would try. I'm just like, ugh. I mean, I hear just fine, and I hear the differences between different music and how they appreciate it that way. But yeah, I just never had that talent for it, and that was great because I'm happy I steered towards the writing because that's naturally where I belong, and that's really the most important thing is to do, what's important to yourself and make sure that you belong. So if that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Versus writing or sculpting or painting, I mean, why not? I mean, it's important as well. And you're also making an income too, so that's absolutely fascinating and definitely a real drive because it's not like you can really want to have a day off or be sick about something. You got to go out there and you got to do it. And it's not like you can just, I'll finish that essay later. You can't really do that with music.
No, yeah, not
so
at all.
I can just imagine that. But I think it's a heck of a life that you put together, and it's great to be able to talk
Thanks.
To you about it because I've been looking from afar from a while saying, man, I wish I could be over there doing that. How cool would that be? I even like being in a room with a bunch of people who smoke, and I don't even smoke just because it's cool. This April will be 15 years I quit smoking cigarettes, but miss it. I mean, you miss it like an old girlfriend, You really do.
Right, yeah.
But I wouldn't go back for it again, but you really do miss it.
No,
so, it'd be an excuse for me to just to be around smoking people. Yeah, honey, I'm playing the saxophone, okay? That's why I'm here. That's why I smell like, a giant pack of cigarettes. I'm going to change my middle name to Dunhill, which is the cigarettes I used to smoke when I lived in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no,
yeah,
I know
Dunhill
you mean.
Menthol, they were great. They used to market it as this is the Queen's tobacco.
Oh, really?
Apparently she smokes a lot, and that's the kind of stuff she likes.
Oh, yeah.
But when you think about the Queen, you don't ever think about her with a cigarette in her hand or in her mouth. So,
no, but I guess they. Oh, well, I want to say they don't live ordinary lives, do they? But they live some sort of ordinary life behind closed doors. I'd like to think.
A storm. Especially with her two sons apparently fighting all over the place. She probably says, "Bring me another pack." These kids are killing me. Yeah, well, everybody, we always watch the rural life there. It's just always interesting. Poor Philip over there running over people. So,
No, it must be interesting looking from the outside.
Well, we have a president that's a bit of an entertainer himself. So, if we're not hearing something about him, then we're hearing about whatever's going on with you guys. So it kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah, and it does with us too. We hear a lot about Trump.
I know. I get that. I get that a lot. But, and from all my English friends and fans, I just say, if you have the word Trump, okay, we have the word Brexit. So I think we're even, okay?
I think we are. Yeah, I won't
argue. Yeah, because we're not sooner to fix this than you are the that. So let's not worry too much about the other.
No.
Wow, it's been a grand pleasure to have you, Jordan, and to listen to a little bit about your life and you being so decent and generous to share it, because we don't get a lot to hear about somebody that's doing something musical, doing it regularly and doing it with a real love and passion and definitely a bit of a social sacrifice. So. I know that's a little bit for you as well, but hopefully you still can, make some connections out there with people and friends and maybe even with some love out there. It can always just be about hitting the piano, you know. But
Of course, I
definitely like to hear about that as well. But I really really appreciate you being on there, and to me it was also not only interesting for the show, but it was also my own personal way of thanking you for supporting the arts and writing, particularly mine, and you know how grateful I am from that, especially when you're all across the pond, and it's not hard to imagine that some people are like, oh, this dreary American, he's killing me, you know, because you get that sometimes too. So it's always wonderful when you get somebody that you can have a connection with, regardless of the culture or the accent, and still realize how important each other's are, and how important it is just to be human for a change, and not just be, you know, some cartoon in a bad movie, you know.
Yeah. No. Thanks. I'm grateful of you for sharing your writing with me in the past. I'm grateful that you've, you know, reached out to me. But this has been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Yes, and hopefully you'll have some new things coming up in the future, or maybe some of your own things we could talk about. Because I like to think this is not the first time you're going to stop by, you know, here, and you're certainly welcome to do again in the future, because I think it'll be wonderful. And I also think that you're probably the only guest now that actually I can pronounce the name, because all the other ones, it's difficult. So
yeah, I absolutely
yeah,
I would
I'll,
love
I'll
to.
Be saying in the back of my mind, oh, Jordan, okay, thank God. Yeah, it's
an
really
easy one.
It's easy, and it's kind of hip sounding too, actually, you know.
Thanks.
So I really do appreciate it, and the best to everything that you're doing, and definitely stay in touch, and God bless, Jordan. You take care.
Yeah, all the best. Chat soon, Mark.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.